Good morning, church family. Lovely to see you. The reading today is from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 to 44. It's entitled The Triumphal Entry. Luke 19, verses 28 to 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the name of the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us today.
That's good. So, Palm Sunday, we'll be looking at it from Luke 19, but we'll also get a little bit of help from Mark 11 and Matthew 21. That's right. Okay. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Start with a song. That song is written about Christmas. However, I would dispute that. I would say this is the most wonderful time of the year. We're starting to look at Holy Week. This is the week that changed eternity. It changed the whole of history. Because Jesus Christ came to Jerusalem. He died and he was raised from the grave. That revolutionized history. Now we are, as they were, living in a time where it looks like the world has gone bananas. Doubling energy prices, rising fuel prices, a global pandemic. We've got an Omicron new variant. That's exciting, isn't it? It's nice they have variants, but variants are variants. That's, we get a double bonus. We've got a war in Ukraine between a country that is fighting back and a nuclear power. We have NATO that does not really know quite what to do about this. It does not want to start a nuclear war. We are living in times of real crisis. This is real crisis. This is scary times. It is a world that has completely gone bananas. And who's the boss? Is that guy the boss? Or is he, or is he, or is he? Who's the boss in the world? Who has the answer? What is the answer to this mess that we have gotten into? Now, one of my favourite theologians, called Karl Barth, said, you know, what's the question? I don't know, but the answer's Jesus. And it always is. And he's right. Because this is why the Soviets did not want to let Bibles into Romania. Because there are claims that Jesus made that are revolutionary and dangerous, but not in the way of guns and bombs and all that. He had a different revolution. It was a revolution of peace, a revolution of reconciliation, a revolution of love, more than anything else. I have a book by a Mennonite who died quite a long time ago now, actually 97. And it's called The Politics of Jesus. And he says that the politics of Jesus is love. If we based our politics instead upon PMQs and a shouting match on Wednesday at 12 noon, we might have a better country. Now, I tend to agree with that because the politics of love means that we do transform the world through a different way. Now, in the reading that Brian read to us, thank you very much, Brian, it's lovely to see you again. This is a massive statement that Jesus is making. In fact, I would say that what Jesus did on that day was basically to sign his death warrant, his own death warrant. It was a highly dangerous thing to do. There are so many different references that Jesus makes to the Old Testament. It's full. And that's why I'm bringing in both Mark and Matthew as well, because Luke doesn't. He's writing to a Gentile audience who probably didn't understand so much of what was going on. His entrance into Jerusalem... Oops, sorry. That was a double click. Oh, go back one. No, just stay there then. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was a highly dangerous statement that Jesus was doing. To say that that people were upset about it and the Pharisees were upset would be an understatement. They were probably having kittens because they knew and they were really terrified that Pilate would understand what Jesus was doing. Because he marched down the east road into the east gate into Jerusalem. The teachers of the law, remember that's what it says, there's the Pharisees and Sadducees and the teachers of the law. They knew the law. And when I say the law, I don't just mean the rules. I mean the whole of the Old Testament. The Sadducees were rich. They made money out of the temple offerings. They were very rich. They were elitist. And they had a high stake in keeping the status quo. And this bloke going down on a donkey through the east gate directly into the court of the Gentiles was a great statement that he was king. He was the coming king. Because this is the reference to the Old Testament. Jesus is making a reference very cleverly. He's not saying, I am the king. He just simply acts out Zechariah 9. So there's the actual quote, but I'm going to read the wider context. Then I will encamp at my house as a guard, so that none shall march to and fro. No oppressor shall again march over them. Pilate. But now I see with my own eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey. on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off from the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. From sea, the Red Sea, to sea, from the Mediterranean to the Atlantic, including Rome. That's what Jesus was actually saying by riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. It was absolutely ridiculous thing to say. But he is king. And we need to remember that. He is the coming king. He is not simply saving us, which he is, but he's also ruling from sea to sea. He's declaring his kingship over all the earth. And it's a kingship. Now, okay, let's just go back to our context for a second. Vladimir Putin wants to have the Greater Russia Empire back. He said that the fall of the Soviet Empire was the worst thing that ever happened. How is he taking it back? Through bombs, through bullets, through violence. We have a different king who will rule from sea to sea with peace, with love, with reconciliation, not with violence. So I think, did Nick mention this a couple of weeks ago? There's a book, and I can never remember, it's by a guy called Cabril or Crabril, but it's called The Upside Down Kingdom. Our kingdom is upside down. I'm going to be very dangerous here. I'm going to quote a person who you won't like, Karl Marx. Karl Marx said he wants to turn the world back on its head. He wants to turn it around. And that's what Jesus does. He turns the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of peace and love. The coming king will bring peace. The coming king will not bring violence. And this is what we've got a big problem sometimes, because when we talk about the kingdom of God, kings almost always rule through violence. Whereas this king, rules by that. Hold it up, Autumn. Hold the cross up. That's the way that God rules, by dying on the cross, by giving himself up. Now, you couldn't make this stuff up, could you, really? You wouldn't make a savior die in the most disgraceful, disgusting, despicable way. Oh, that was a good alliteration, wasn't it? You just wouldn't. You'd have him riding on a mounted white stallion. Not on a foal. On a colt. Not by dying on a cross. This is God's way. It is turning the world back onto its head. He is God's liberator. Jesus was saying, it was an open declaration, that he was the Messiah, and he came to claim the city in peace and not with violence. But he is God's liberator. Now, I made a mistake because I didn't actually give the full passage. And in the preparation, I thought, I better do this. So I'm going to read it, if I can find it. Then Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find a way to do it because all the people hung on his words. So he went into the temple. The disciples said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's from Psalm 118. And Psalm 118 is what we, those who study the Bible, call a messianic psalm. He was claiming to be the Messiah. So he went in, claimed the city of Jerusalem, declaring that he would be the Lord of peace from sea to sea, and then claiming the temple. In a sense, what he was doing is he was saying that the religious leaders had misled the people. They had not actually told the truth. And he went into the court of the Gentiles. The whole quote is that my house should be a house of prayer for all the nations. The Gentiles could pray in the temple courts, where it was the court of the Gentiles. And by having a market in there, or allowing a market to be held in the court of the Gentiles, the Sadducees were excluding the Gentiles. And Jesus anger's not a sin, because Jesus was absolutely angry at this, because they were excluding the Gentiles. They were excluding the nations. And this is why it's so important that we have an international vision for the church. This is why Alison has gone to Japan. Now we can have that connection with the Japanese church, because the Gentiles must come to the Lord. I'm not Jewish. It is because of our internationally visioned Saviour that I am saved. It's a wonderful thing. And he basically took authority. And if you read on from this, they said, the leaders of the people say, by what authority do you do this? And Jesus doesn't answer these questions. He's very clever. But then he tells a parable of the vineyard. Do you remember that parable of the vineyard? That the owner of the vineyard comes along, and the tenants, who are the leaders of the people and the teachers of the law, they are the usurpers. They have usurped the power of the owner. And that's what Jesus is saying. You guys do not own the vineyard. I own the vineyard. And you are misusing the vineyard. He is Lord of the temple. These I bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. Now, that makes me really quite emotional, because I taught at a place called All Nations Christian College, and it's trained missionaries to go to other places in the world. This is talking about the salvation of God is not just for us. It's for them out there. It's for all the nations. It is the universality of God's salvation. He is Lord of the temple. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods that you have not known? Then come and stand before me in that house which bears my name. We are safe to do all these detestable things. Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? That I have been watching, declares the Lord. That's when Jesus says, you have made my house a den of robbers. They would have known exactly what he meant. You are committing idolatry. You're basically worshipping money. You're not worshipping me. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? No wonder they wanted to kill him, to be honest. It's a deliberate challenge to the power of the religious leader, the declaration that they were resisting God, and a provocation to them to do something about it, either to repent, and what they ultimately did was kill him. So Jesus claimed to be the hoped-for Messiah and authority over the city of Jerusalem, over the temple. He claims that the religious authorities are exploiting their position for personal gain and therefore a barrier to God's purposes in the world. And he's opening the door for... I don't think I've got that right, have I? On that. He's opening a door for all the nations. So what do we say? Oh, sorry. Go back. Go back. Please go back. I don't think I can go back. Anyway, application for today. Jesus Christ has got to be the center of our lives. We must live the life of Jesus' lordship over every part of our life. Every part of our life. Not just our religious life. In fact, not primarily over our religious life. We are representing God in this world, and we need to be living examples. Jesus showed his lordship by doing something. He didn't show it just by saying stuff. So Jesus is Lord over every part of human life. We must not be, like the religious leaders, a barrier to God's lordship and God's purposes. And are we courageous enough? I think I've got these in the wrong order. Never mind. Forget the forget the PowerPoint. So we must live out God's worship, God's lordship. How do we live? What do we spend? What do we watch? How do we interact with others? All of these things come under Jesus's lordship. And this is what we call discipleship, because we have to work it out. You know, we've got to work out how we vote, what we do with our electricity bills. And that is the message of Palm Sunday. Jesus is Lord. He is my Lord. But the declaration is not Jesus is my Lord. It's Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of NATO. He's Lord of the EU. He's Lord of the British government. He's Lord of the IMF, the World Bank. He's Lord of everything. And that's what he was saying as he went into Jerusalem. That's why they crucified him. That's why they crucified him. Not because he was some religious nutcase. They didn't crucify religious nutcases. They crucified revolutionaries and terrorists. And that's what Jesus was saying. I am Lord. And this is the great thing. In this terrible situation in which we find ourselves, and we're worried and we're scared. Well, I'm worried and scared. In this situation, he is still Lord. Jesus is Lord of Ukraine. Jesus is Lord of Westminster, Washington, Moscow. And this was the dangerous thing, that when the Christians, after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, started proclaiming this phrase, Jesus is Lord and Saviour. And a quick Greek lesson. Kyrios is the word for Lord. Soter is the word for Saviour. Augustus Caesar said, I am Kyrios and Soter. So by declaring this, basically they were just saying, no, you're not. And they did not fine you for doing that sort of declaration in those days. They killed you. And that's our revolutionary message today, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour of the whole world. And he's my Saviour, but he's also Saviour of the world. And he will ultimately rule. And we can only say that by faith. Because you look at the world and you say, what an utter mess. But he is. And we say it by faith. And we, as a church, need to live it out. We need to live it out every day. That's a huge challenge, I know, brothers and sisters, but it is the one that Jesus said, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord God, what a challenge. Holy Spirit, we pray for your help, please. We can't do it. We just can't do it alone. We need your power to do it in our lives and to declare it in the world. Help us to speak out and live out your lordship in our personal lives, in our community lives, in our political lives, in every way. We ask it in your name. Amen.